Good morning. It is so good to be together, and we appreciate all who are in our assembly, whether personally or virtually through the Zoom format. Thank you for being here. Today, as is noted on the screen, is the second Sunday of the month, and we all know by now the theme is Revive Us Again for this year. And that's taken, the thought is taken from Psalm 85 and verse 6. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? And we certainly do rejoice in our God, as we have noted in prayer and in songs, and going to take a look at his word now and delight in him in that arena as well. You know, as we study the scriptures and note the relationship, the human relationship with God, there is a cycle that seems to repeat itself over and over in scripture. And that cycle is that men sin, and God rebukes sin, and men, at least some, will accept that rebuke, and they will confess their sins, they will repent of them and turn from them, and God will forgive, and he will restore. And he will renew and he will revive. Now, of course, we know that there's still many people that rebel against God and they rebuff his rebuke of sin. But those who are his people, we see many examples. We've just concluded a study of the book of Nehemiah, and we see that was the heart of the people there. And yet they... Shortly thereafter, after making reinstituting the covenant with God, they also fell, but were rebuked, and they responded favorably, and God forgave them. And so this is a pattern that we see in Scripture. And we have noted in previous studies on this topic of revive us again, that the Hebrew word from which we get our English word revive is a word that means to make alive, to cause to live. It is also translated sometimes in the English language as renew and restore, and we'll probably look at some of those in future months ahead. But one of the things that I discussed with you previously is the use of the word revive by the psalmist who penned Psalm 119. And that psalmist repeatedly pleads with the Lord to revive him. Personally, he says, revive me according to something. And some nine times in this psalm, he will make that statement in some form. He'll express that. And our goal this morning is to take a look at a portion of this psalmist's prayers and his words in Psalm 119. And our goal this morning is just to be motivated by his pursuit of personal revival and God's role in it. You know, we've talked repeatedly thus far this year on the idea of being revived and revive us again, and our part in that process of revival. I want to focus what the psalmist teaches us about God's role in this, and we dare not overlook that. And so let's begin this morning by taking a look at Psalm 119, and we're going to start with verse 149, go through verse 160, and make our observations and hopefully application this morning. Psalm 119, verse 149. Hear my voice, according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So as I said, we're going to break these down, these various requests of revive me, and see what we can learn and how we can be motivated by the psalmist's thoughts and God's role in this. So we take a look at our first point. We're going to look at Psalm 119, verse 149. When he says, hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. Now notice in this verse here, he's asking for revival according to God's justice. He talks about his loving kindness. We'll come back to that in a few moments here. But he's saying, God, I want you to hear me based upon your truth. I want you to hear me based upon your decisions and your will. He's not saying, God, give me what I want. Rather, give me what matters according to your will for me. The human will must conform to God's will. You know, there is a serious error today in some religions when it comes to prayer. In fact, it is shamelessly appalling in some respects, because some would teach that it's okay to demand some things from God. Things like health. And the mindset is that if I'm going to use my life for you, Lord, and to carry your word to other people, you need to give me this health. Others will say that financial prosperity is something that we can demand of God because, you know, if we are good stewards of our finances, well, then he needs to give us more. It's the health and wealth gospel that has been around for many years. But, you know, it's really shamelessly treating God like he is some kind of a genie in a bottle. If you just rub the genie and you have three wishes or whatever, and you have every right to expect from God this. It's not a matter of what is the will of God, but coming boldly before God, which the scriptures do teach, but not to make demands that may be not according to his will. Biblical prayer is not a matter of twisting God's arm. It's a matter of twisting our mind. It's a matter of twisting our will to be in accordance with God. And as the psalmist here is asking for, it's not a matter of answer my prayer based upon what I want, but based upon truth, based upon your righteousness, based upon your justice. You know, twice in this verse he says, according to, he doesn't say, according to my character, God, or how good I am. He says, I love your testimonies, but it's not according to him. It's according to God and submitting to God's will and his mercy. You know, Jesus taught this very same thing when he was teaching his disciples in Matthew chapter 6 about how to pray. He said, pray to the Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught his disciples to pray about God's will in things. In fact, he practiced it himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? When he went and fell to the ground, knowing what was coming, just hours away. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You know, praying biblically is so important because it's only in God's word that we can know God's will. And it's only in his word that we can know how to pray his will. In John, First John, rather. That was the thought of the psalmist. God, I want you to hear me based upon your truth and upon your decisions and your will. In 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15, we read, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. John says, we have confidence in that. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. It's simply pointing out here that we have to pray according to his will. And praying according to his will is to pray that it's something that he wants for us. Not according to our desires. And so balancing the will of God and prayer is crucial, because all prayer and a little bit of knowledge can result in the very thing that the Apostle Paul dealt with his own Jewish brethren in Romans chapter 10. He said they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And sometimes people can have a great zeal in prayer, but it's not coupled with knowledge. And, you know, we ask, what happened in the early church? They didn't have this problem. Let's see why. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 42, after Peter had responded to those Jewish listeners on the day of Pentecost, and when they asked, what shall we do? He said to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then it goes on in verse 40, and it says, and with many other words, he exhorted and testified and said to them, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Well, then what did they do? Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread in prayers. They continued steadfastly. The New American Standard renders it this way. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Why did they not have a problem with understanding the importance of praying the will of God? Because they understood the will of God. They were devoting themselves to what the apostles were teaching them on that topic and others. So it's important that we see what the psalmist says here. He says, revive me, O Lord, according to your justice. What's right? What's fair? What's good in your eyes? Secondly, we take a look at verses 154 through 155, where the psalmist says, plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. In Psalm 33, actually verses 4 through 9 we're going to read here. Let's see how this helps us with this passage. In verse 4, it says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Why don't we say those words like the psalmist did? You know, Kenny brought it up in class this morning, some things we know, like about heaven. And yet we need to be reminded about them. We need to say those words. Do you see what he says here? He said, God spoke and it was done. We're talking about according to his word. Revive me according to his word. God speaks. In Genesis chapter 3, chapter 1 rather, in verse 3, it tells us, God said, let there be light, and there was light. There's a point here to remembering these verses. In verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Why don't we remind ourselves of that? The power of God's word. Revive me, Lord, according to your word. His word is so powerful. He speaks and it happens. There is only life because God spoke words of life. There is only energy in the universe because God spoke that the universe would have energy. There's only animal life and plant life and human life because God spoke it. So if we pray like the psalmist, revive me. You know, this is a personal psalm for the writer. He says, revive me according to your word. Do you remember what the Lord said to Abraham? Whenever Sarah had not conceived yet, he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know what, brethren? It is not too hard for the Lord to revive me, to revive you. He speaks, he breathes, and it happens. It's all about God, but it's all about us petitioning God according to His will, because it's what He wants for us. He wants us to be revived. Just as much as when we sin and His word rebukes our sin, He wants us to turn from it, confess it to Him. He promises, "I'll forgive you," 1 John chapter 1, and that He will revive our spirits. He will renew our spirits. And so this psalmist says, "Revive my life according to your word." He's saying something pretty big, isn't he? That the word of God that created the world and all that is in it, including man, He created the world out of nothing, merely speaking it. He created man out of dust. Reviving us is not an issue for Him. Thirdly, revive me according to your judgments, verses 156 to 158. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and I am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Revive me according to your judgments, Lord. What does he mean by wanting to be revived according to the Lord's judgments? Revive me according to your judgments. You recall in Psalm, the same Psalm, verse 149, he says, "Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord, revive me according to your justice." Justice and judgments are two different things. He says, first of all, he says that in this verse 149, he says, "Revive me according to your loving kindness." In verse 156, "according to your tender mercies." Have you ever thought about where this psalmist had learned about God's tender mercies, His loving kindness? He didn't have Paul's letter to the Romans that talks about God's grace. He didn't have that. Where did he learn this? He's saying true things about God. How did he know these things? Where had he learned about them? Well, I believe the answer is in the law of Moses, in the books of Exodus and Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy. He learned about God in those books of the Bible. So he could say, "Lord, I want you to revive my life just as I have learned from your law." That's what you want to happen. You want life revived and renewed and restored. That's what God wants. He says, "I know what you want, God, because I know what you're like. And I know your testimonies, they're true. Your judgments are always righteous. You are just and fair. I know that, Father." And he, in saying that, is in essence saying, "I'm poor and I'm blind and I'm naked and I'm oppressed by persecutors. And all these things are going on in my life and I need you to revive me. Please revive my life, just as you say in your word." It's the scriptures that taught the psalmist this. The Old Testament scriptures. That's how he knew the God that he worshiped. And it's how he knew he could cry out to him, "Revive me." So let me ask, where will our revival of life come from time to time, in those cyclical periods of our faith and our journey here until Jesus comes again? Where will our revival of life come from? Are we going to look at it as that's the job of the elders? They need to, as our leaders, they need to revive us. No, not quite. They are to shepherd and oversee and to feed. Well, then it must be from the preachers. The preachers, that's their job to revive us. Or the Bible class teacher. Or it's from the books that we read. All those things. No. We're only revived from one source, and that's from the Lord Himself. And us asking Him to. As David did in Psalm 51, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Wash me, cleanse me." God's happy to do that. But do we really want to be revived like that? The psalmist says, "Lord, it's your righteousness, it's your compassion, it's your love, it's your word, it's your promises. That's where we're going to find renewal, from the Lord Himself." That's what the psalmist is teaching us. And lastly, let's take a look at verses 159 and 160. Let's teach us, "Revive me according to your loving kindness. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." He points out, he says, "Lord," he says, I love your precepts. You know, if we're going to ask the Lord to revive me, we best think about how much we love His word. How much do we love His precepts? How much do we love His testimony? Do we have the conviction of the psalmist here? You know, we know from our own human relationships the power of loving kindness, don't we? Whenever you know that someone loves you, it just makes life better, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we'll exchange words with one another. "Love you, brother. Love you, sister." Maybe in a text or something. Do you know what? Those are extremely important words. They're reassuring words. It makes life better. Doesn't it make your life better when someone says, "I love you"? And you know they do. They're not just shooting blanks at you. They mean it. It makes life better. People have been loved back to life and wholeness. Love supports people. It gives life to people. It lifts people up out of depression. And it lifts us up and gives us life. That's the meaning of revive us, isn't it? Make me alive again. Love has that power. Have you ever seen someone lifted out of the depths of despair, maybe even suicide, because someone loved them at the right moment? You say, well, what's the point here? Well, That's exactly what Scripture tells us about God in John 3:16, the best known passage in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is love. And love gives life. And loving kindness revives. In Psalm 63 and verse 3, the psalmist says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Have you ever asked yourself, what does that mean? God, your loving kindness is better than life. I don't know, I kind of like life. But God's loving kindness is better than life. What does it mean? When he says it, he wants God to revive his life. He doesn't say, Lord, just look at me and have pity on me because of all the things that are going on in my life and all those that are persecuting me and just for the awful way that I am. He says, I want you to give me life because of who you are and because of your loving kindness. It's better than life. But he doesn't only think of God's character, he thinks of God's words. At least 8 times in this psalm, he says, revive me, but what? According to something. It was all according to God's judgments, according to his justice, according to his loving kindness, according to his mercy. It was all according to God's characteristics. Don't revive me according to me, God. Revive me according to what you would have me to be. What's some application for us this morning? Well, love gives life, and God is love, and his loving kindness revives us. We need to tell him that. We need to ask him to revive us. But as far as application, let me suggest the 4 points to you. People want revival, but they are not often so willing to obey God who gives it to them. I know Gary didn't have a clue what I was preaching on this morning. But do you remember that in his prayer? We pray that we would love and that we would obey. That's exactly right. We want revival, but do we want the obedience that God requires? Secondly, revival without personal obedience to God, it's fake. It's fake. You know, no matter how spectacular something is, if we're pretending about this obedience to God, it's not going to happen. We're not going to be revived. Do you remember Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8? He was fake. He wanted the power of the Holy Spirit so he could use it to reestablish his claims over the people. He had bewildered the people for many years with his magic. Peter got on it right away, as you recall. Thirdly, if the message today has been a blessing to you, then make sure that it leads to obedience to whatever it is that God is saying to your heart. Was there something that the psalmist revealed there? That we can say, you know what? God, that's me. Help me with that. Talk to him about it. And make sure that it leads to expressions of praise to the God who brought you here today. We see the praise of the psalmist in our text. For God, for reviving him. And so as we think about the theme for this year of revive us again, you know, we might ask ourselves, is that what we are really interested in? God, make us alive. Renew an upright spirit in us. I hope it's our desire. Because as we're studying on Wednesday night, heaven is worth it. Heaven is everything. I appreciate you listening this morning. And pray that we'll all seek God to revive us according to his will. If you're not a Christian, you need to be. And you need to obey his will. And we didn't talk so much about that this morning, but to be revived in a relationship with God, we have to be in a relationship with him, and that only comes through his Son. He gave Jesus that we might believe, as we studied in Bible class this morning, as we look at the miracles of Christ, how many other things that he did that are not recorded, but what God has given us in his word, it's enough to cause us to believe, to turn from our sins, realizing he's the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who died on Calvary to redeem you. If you haven't responded in humble obedience like those in the day of Pentecost, will you repent, be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins? That's what God wants. That's his will. If we can help you with that, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.